Hello, friends. I'm Jeff Wolfe. I'm a revivalist and an author, and this is my podcast. I'm going to share God's word with you over the next few moments, and my prayer is that you will be inspired, empowered, and encouraged. Thanks for joining me. Hey, everybody. I'm excited to share with you the premiere of the first episode of season 3 of my podcast. Brand new features, brand new format, and brand new guests. As a matter of fact, I've never had guests before, and so this is going to be the first time that we have aired a podcast with a remote guest, which is why I'm wearing the headphones so that I can hear the guest without getting any feedback. Bear with me, maybe I'll be able to lose the headphones after I learn more about the technology involved in all of this. I want to talk to you about something that's been stirring in my spirit for some time now. It's the subject of revival. So several weeks ago, over a meal, a good friend of mine pressed me to consolidate my vision into one word. Now, I have had a vision for my life and ministry since I was 16 years old. I started preaching when I was 15. And that vision started with just a very simple statement that the Lord impressed into my spirit. And over my lifetime, the Lord has been confirming His word and building on that very first puzzle piece to my vision of ministry. And so over lunch, just a couple of weeks ago, a friend of mine asked me, if you had to consolidate your vision into one word, what would it be? And I paused for a minute, and it didn't take me long to answer. If I had to describe my vision for ministry in one word, it is the word revival. Who better to share with us and to talk to on this very first podcast of season 3 about revival than my good friend, evangelist Joel Talley? How you doing, Joel?
Hey, how are you doing? What an honor to be with you today. Thank you so much, man.
So Joel and I have known each other for a few years. Our friendship, our brotherhood began, it's hard to believe it's been almost 14 years ago now, in 2008. I was pastoring in Cincinnati, and I just felt impressed of the Lord to call Joel and invite him to come preach a revival. Now, I had known Joel's dad, Bishop Jim Talley, for several years and had had him preach, and he would always say, you and my son Joel would really get along well. So that particular year, Joel was just, you know, doing what evangelists do. He was blowing in, blowing up, and blowing out and busy, and, you know, his dad said, I don't know if you'll be able to get him on short notice. He's booked up for several months and you know, even a year in advance. But I just felt a tug on my heart at a particular season to give Joel a call, and I did. And I said, listen, I know you are busy, but would you consider, you know, coming if you had basically come as soon as you have an opening, maybe if you have a cancellation or whatever. And it just so happened that Joel was able to come, I believe it was the second week, the second Sunday of November in 2008, if I'm not mistaken. Does that sound about right?
Yep. Yes, sir, that's about right.
And so we started revival on that Sunday morning, and we went until August of 2009.
That's
9 months of revival. It changed my life. It changed everything about me. There's so much that I could talk about that season of revival, but and Joel and I are going to do that, but I just want to point out that God is still moving, and I sensed it just last Sunday as I was preaching. God is still moving, and revival is just as needed, and it's just as real, and it is just as powerful, and just as dynamic as it was, what, 13, 14 years ago. And beyond. Joel, how long have you been doing this now?
Wow, man. A lot of people think that you're full-time when you're 17 and understand that. But I actually started preaching revivals when I was 12 and 13 years old. Wow. My dad, being the pastor, he would only let me go out for the weekends. And then as the older I got, even before I could drive, he would have preaching appointments. And then so he would drop me off at appointments. And then as I could, and as I began to drive, he said, okay, you can do revivals as long as they're an hour away, because I was still attending regular middle school and high school. And right. And it's so funny, you know, you're fitting your kids one way, seeing if you stay out late, you know, he'd always try to ground me by going, listen, if you don't get your schoolwork done, you're not going to have a revival. so that was quite interesting growing up. But I've basically done it all of my ministry over 30-something years. And then, of course, wow. the last 9.5 years, I've had the privilege of pastoring and evangelizing.
Has it been almost 10 years already since you
yes,
started pastoring?
Can you believe that? It's been almost 10 years will be my birthday this coming August. And,
wow.
What a birthday gift God gave me that I could go be a pastor.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And, I've been there for 9.5 years, but this is a whole nother podcast, I'm sure. But, you know, I had to find a church that they would allow me to not only pastor, but also fulfill the role of an evangelist. And so someone asked me, so what are you? Are you a pastor? Are you an evangelist? And I said, well, I'm a hybrid. So there we go.
Hybrid.
A hybrid.
That's
call it
awesome.
What you may, but I still like you. I feel such revival in my heart. And that's,
yeah.
you know, you were talking about how, and I thought that was powerful, how your friend wanted you to define down to one word. And that's what I've always felt. I felt revival, you know, in one portion of my heart has been, mm-hmm. especially for the students, the teenagers. And of course, that's a whole nother time we could talk about, but
yeah.
I've been doing this a long time, and I'm so thankful that I believe we're fixing to move into another season of revival like we've never seen before, you know.
Sure.
I believe that.
Well, I'll just point out that you and I have one thing in common, and that is the fact that anybody who is called of God can preach a revival, right? But there's a difference between those who preach revivals and those who are revivalists or evangelists yes. by their nature, by their calling. I mentioned to someone the other day that of all of the hats that I have had the privilege of wearing in ministry, pastor, youth pastor, state director, and on and on and on, mm-hmm. My greatest privilege and my biggest passion has always been the office of the evangelist.
Yes.
And when you feel that tug in your heart, even as a pastor, as I was for many years, that's always your first love. And I know it is yours as well. And that's
Absolutely.
How our paths crossed. And so I want you to just, in just a moment, talk a little bit about that revival and how revival has changed in the church in America since then. But I want to start by just sharing something that I felt impressed of when the pandemic started.
Mm-hmm.
Back in March of 2020, when we all, you know, began to realize that we were in a global pandemic, I just felt the Lord nudge me. I don't claim to be a prophet or someone who's always out saying God said this and God said that. But I just felt a tug in my heart, and I just felt the Lord whisper to me that when history tells the story, this season of the church will not be remembered for the pandemic, but it will be remembered for the revival that's coming on the heels of that crisis. And I really believe that. I believe the greatest revival to ever sweep not just America, but the world is coming on the heels of this crisis. And it has prepared the world for the last day outpouring.
Yes. That is so powerful. And you made that statement at a last church that you were preaching at. And I watched your video. What a powerful sermon you preached there. I think it was Life Church.
Life Church in Leavittsburg.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That was amazing. And when you made that statement, that has just so stuck with me because – of course, like you were talking about, everything that's going on will go down in history. But, and I'm not just trying to write off of your coattail, but I will confirm to you that that's exactly what the Lord has spoke to me. He said, in the season, it's not just going to be about the pandemic. It's going to be about a move of God.
Absolutely.
And there is there is a move of God. So that's what the news and everybody's not telling you. The church is not dead.
Nope.
I know, like for us, you know, we had to step out of our church three times. We just come back into our church. This last Sunday, we had 28 people affected by COVID, even though it may have been a setback. It understand, it's still a setup. And yeah. And what has gone on, just fast forward with everything that's happening, what I see, and I know you're traveling, you and I, we preach some meetings close around each other and together over the last few months of this last year, and I've seen there's a new unprecedented hunger. Mm-hmm. And what has happened is, you know, it's, we should have got a hold of this years ago, but what we see now is we realize that a move of God is this, not just something that is suggestional, but it, man, it's a necessity. It's desperation.
Yeah.
Because what other way could any, you know, in any other way, how could nations just close down, you know, just like that? Just, you know, all the sports stuff just shuts down. I mean, think about it. Our way of life just shuts down and slows down. And sometimes, you know, it takes things like that for us to wake up and realize that God, it is you that we need. We're desperate for you.
Yes.
And I have been seeing a desperation, Brother Jeff, with not just moms and dads and grandparents, but there's a desperation and a hunger for God for our sons and our daughters and our grandkids, you know, and they're in dire need because they're being, I know this is a whole other time we could talk about again, but they're in dire need because there's been such a spirit of fear and anxiety that has hit the middle school. I've got one. I've got a 14-year-old, and it's not just with her, it's with everybody. I go to Illinois, it's there. I go to West Virginia, the camp's there. You know, everywhere you go, Arizona, I mean, it's everywhere that you go, man, there's an attack of the enemy. But I'm telling you, in spite of the fear and the anxiety, like you have said, I believe that this is going to be known as a move of God like we have never seen before. You know, and I'm not trying to take up the whole time, but if you look back, and you're revivalists and you're studious in this way. If you look back and you begin to study out major revivals, I mean, even if you go back, even to the Old Testament and New Testament, you'll find out really quick that in the natural, when it looked like that in the natural, instead of God sending revival, he should have sent judgment. Mm-hmm. You know, in the midst of that, even in the time where God would threaten that he's going to destroy peoples and nations, think about what happened with Abraham.
Yeah.
If God could have found five people that was righteous, he would have spared Sodom and Gomorrah. Just five.
Wow.
And see, if you look back over these times, I've always found out the revival never comes in a convenient time.
Mm-hmm.
It never comes in a time to where we all like, wow, it's time for revival. It's in the time to where we look and say, God, where are you? Are you here? Do you care? Are you mad? Are you upset? And it causes us to be drawn to him, say, God, whatever's going on. And, you know, I'm sure if you're like me, I've heard so many different explanations and I've seen so many different prophetic videos about what's happening. And we're not going to dive into all these conspiracy theories, but, you know, some people think that God's mad. Others think that he's upset. But in the midst of this searching, the good thing comes out of it. So God, no matter what it looks like, just come.
Yeah.
Just come in a form of revival. And I don't mean to go around this mountain, but in the natural, it looks like that instead of it should be revival, you know, God should bring about judgment. But, I mean, look at the story with Jonah. We can see him going on and on and on.
Mm-hmm.
Look what God did. He turned things around and he would bring about revival that would literally not just touch a person, but he would use a person like Jonah to turn a whole nation. That's my fault.
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, for people like you and me who walk in this calling, revival has never changed. It's always about the same thing. It's about the move of the Holy Spirit to transform the lives of people. And I think as a church, and I speak this as a pastor, that we have tried all kinds of styles and fads. And I don't know about you, but I'm at a place in my ministry where I'm 46 years old, so I just crossed the 31-year mark in ministry. I have come back to a place full circle in my life where I just want to go back and preach the old-fashioned way.
Yes.
You know, I used to preach off the wall and use PowerPoint, and I used to, you know, do all this. And there's nothing wrong with all that stuff. It's just a matter of personal preference and what you're comfortable with. But I am most comfortable just doing it the old-fashioned way. When I was at Life Church, the media team said, "You got a PowerPoint?" I said, "No, that doesn't work for me. I never stick to what's on it anyhow." So, but I just feel this drawing back to my roots. Does that make sense?
Yes.
I just feel a drawing back to my Pentecostal roots, and not to sugarcoat it, not to water it down, not to hide it, but just to be real and transparent, because after all, it is the power of the Holy Ghost that empowered Peter and John and everyone in the upper room to win 3,000 people to Jesus in that one day.
Yes. And you're exactly right. I think that is the drawing, that people is ready to get back to raw and real. And again, you know, going back to the pandemic thing, people don't know what to believe. You know, there's just enough information to confuse everybody. And so, you know, in my thinking, it's time that we get back to the church and we let people see that there's an authentic, real, you know, truth. Mm-hmm. There's a real answer. And the bottom line is that there is no fluff. We don't have to see cherubims and seraphims and angels to figure this thing out, which I want to see that.
Right.
But the bottom line is Jesus is the answer.
Yes,
and,
yes.
And, you know, I can't help it. I go back to the youth camps and everything. And I go back to the revival that we were in 9 months. I've been doing the same thing, Brother Jeff. I have been going back in my mind thinking about, you know, the great meetings. And we didn't have all this. I mean, we had it in that revival. We were broadcasting. It would go out to Colorado and California and everything, but that was not the main thing. You know what I mean?
Right.
The main thing was we was having a move of God, and we would come in there each and every night, and we wouldn't know what it was going to be like. We didn't know if we wound up staying an hour and a half, but some nights we stayed 4 hours, you know, and that's exactly what our students are wanting too, is they're wanting the raw and real. I'll share this real quick. And we've got a mutual friends, you know, we could call names. They had a different conferences, and one of the conferences there in Ohio, and it's Encounter with Rich Bowl. Mm-hmm. And dear friends of both of ours. And I've been a part of that conference for many years. And it was a couple of years ago, I was in the midst of that conference. God moved in a mighty way and came down in that place, and I had the lights and the sound and everything. And then we had church for hours there, but something the Lord really impressed me with was when we left that atmosphere of underneath that pavilion, you know, down in Hamilton, Ohio, we left that pavilion atmosphere, and those students went back to their room, got their guitar, and they got a 5-gallon bucket from Home Depot with drumsticks, and they built a bonfire.
Wow.
And they sit around there and they worship God for till the sun went up the next morning with the same power of God.
Yep.
You know, and I don't mean to keep going on, but I learned
right
something.
Ahead.
I learned something that it's not just about the lights, and it's not just about the glitz and the glamour. And I'm not against any of that. If I've had to learn anything about media is important, I've learned that during this pandemic, you know, because like May of last year when we went to church, we found out we had over 18,000 people viewing in the month of May, which I praise God for that, you know, and I'm not patting myself on the back. But at the same token, I also learned in that time that you realize that it's not just about the glitz and the glamour of the lights. It's about a true heart where they worship God. And I'm telling you, when they were sitting around that bonfire, like I was telling you, they worshiped God, and you could feel the same spirit of God. They were on their face in the dirt. I mean, you know, till the sun went up the next day.
Yep.
And I'm with you. I think God is bringing us back full circle. I'm wondering if maybe we have strayed so far off that it's time to come back, and we need to get back to our first works based up on Revelation chapter 1.
Amen. Amen. Well, I'm having a conversation with evangelist extraordinaire Joel Talley from Winder, Georgia. Pastor there. Joel and I have been friends a long time. He's been an evangelist traveling the nation and other parts of the world for, dare I say, almost 4 decades. Joel and I met back in 2008 for the first time when he walked through the back doors of my church to come preach a revival, and couldn't get rid of him for 9 months. No, we
survived all the weather, many staff changes. Let's just leave it right there.
We had a move of God, and I knew, Joel, when we started on that Sunday, that what was about to happen was bigger than us. That's the only way I've ever known how to describe that, was to say that after that first Sunday, I knew that what was happening was bigger than us. And we went for 9 months. So talk a little bit about your just some memories that you have from that revival and how that we won't spend a lot of time on it, but that's we've never really spent a whole lot of time reminiscing about that, really, to talk about.
We really
haven't,
so, even in the
talk to us a little bit about how that about how that came to be.
Sure. Well, you made mention of something earlier, you know, when you were talking about evangelists versus revivalists. And for me, it was during that time that things, I felt, began to switch for me. In other words, I've been an evangelist, mm-hmm. you know, from an evangelist would typically go, like you said, Sunday to Wednesday. I've been serving on the North Georgia Church of God State Evangelist Team, which is great. I just recently come off of that not too long before I came to your church. And the Lord told me, you know, he said, I'm going to move you from being an evangelist to revivalist. I didn't know what that looked like. I didn't, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? But it was in that moment that I began to discover what it was, that it's more than just, you know, five services and out the door, that God was fixing to invest us in to mighty moves of God. And I'll never forget that first Sunday. I could take you back to the spot. You know, we began to pray, and the Spirit of the Lord touched you, and you fell out in the Spirit, and you was out for a while.
Yeah.
And then I remember you got up and said, okay, this team can't stop. And hey, we've had many discussions, have we not, there at the Steak and Shake?
Yes.
Should this thing carry on, should it not?
Yep, absolutely.
And I'm so glad that it did. What I loved about that revival, there's just so many different things I could think of. There were people that were coming from all over Ohio, different places. And, mm-hmm. of course, that's when online we started streaming. And people were watching from California and Colorado and different places. And I remember the moderator saying, man, we had so many people come on. All that's important. But every service one I can remember was totally different.
Yep.
And I think that was the most impressive thing to me. Yeah, Brother Jeff, was that there was not, I don't think there was one night that was exactly alike.
No.
And there were times that we had, you know, we would have a lot of the students fill the Holy Ghost. There mm-hmm. were times that our service would last an hour and a half, like I mentioned earlier. And we're like, okay, God is done. But then there's other times it would last 4 hours. And I remember some nights people were drunk in the Spirit.
Yep.
And we were taking them out of there. But it really did something for me personally on so many different levels. It kind of confirmed the fact that God had something bigger than just being an evangelist. He wanted me to be a revivalist, that it was okay to go to church longer than 1 week. And we never tried to make any of that happen. You know, a lot of guys, they'll go in there and, well, let's see how long we can stay at the church. But honest to goodness, we can honestly say that God prevailed with his revival through mm-hmm. every season. I mean, we had tornadoes. Remember that? We had tornadoes, ice storms, everything. I almost got the worst wreck of my life coming up there, coming over the Jellicoe Mountain. I learned how to persevere. And there's so much that I could say, but what it did for me, if you would say, what would be the one word that you would say, Joe, I would say this: God put a hunger in my heart that I would want to pursue him every week for 9 months. And that hunger has not stopped.
Yeah. And I felt the same way as I talked about it last Sunday. Everything else became just a routine.
Yes.
When you got up in the morning, just everything you had to do that day, you just wanted to get it out of the way so you could be back in God's house. Every single day there's such a growing hunger to get back in the flow. And I remember that more than anything. I also experienced such a growth in my hunger for God and the presence of God during that time. I remember people coming from as far away as Missouri driving to be at the revival. I remember people taking vacation time off of work just to be in revival. I remember people taking their children out of school sports in order to be in God's house during revival nights. There are so many things about that season that I remember. We had some big shots, as far as I'm concerned. They're big shots come through that revival as well. Bishop Tim Hill came and shared that revival. Lyndall Cooley, obviously, whom everyone knows from the Brownsville revival, came through and shared in that revival. And so many people would, you know, other pastors would would, when we would talk to them, they'd always, you know, ask what was going on in the revival. And he, of course, in the area, many pastors came and brought their churches. It was just such a powerful season for me that I would do it all over again if I could. And we went right through Thanksgiving, right through Christmas, right through New Year's.
We sure did.
You had a new baby at home, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes. It's that revival time like we were talking about where it may not look convenient. Mm-hmm. You know, it may not look like, we even have people say, y'all going to have revival through Thanksgiving? Yeah. Remember that? Yep. You're going to go that close to Christmas? And we're like, hey, we're not the ones in charge here. God's in charge. And, you know, and when God brings about an unprecedented move of God, it's like this, you know, we cannot create the wave of the revival. We can only ride the wave,
right?
You know? Yep. And when God creates that, man, that's all we knew how to do is follow. And I was thinking as you were talking about it, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I was thinking as you was talking, you know, it's easy to talk to some pastors after a week of revival. Okay, yeah, they've been there 2 weeks. Okay, 3 weeks. Yeah, I've had a 3-week revival. 5 weeks, it kind of gets narrow.
Right.
6 weeks, but try to talk to somebody, what do you do for 9 months? If I was like, right. I don't know, you tell us.
Exactly. Well, it did become a challenge. You know, it became a challenge because you and I, neither one, had done that before. And, you know, we had a conversation at one point that I was going to have to preach some. Since we had gone so long, I hadn't preached in several weeks. And so I started preaching on Sunday morning, and then you'd kick it up Sunday night and go the rest of the week. When we first started, we were doing 6 days a week.
Absolutely. That's right.
So I've often said I went to church more in 9 months than I had ever been in my life. But, absolutely. You know, I've caught a lot of flack from folks over that revival in the past, and just because I was the pastor of that revival, but I wouldn't change anything for the world. And
I caught a lot of flack from pastors, you know, well, you need to come on over here, you mm-hmm. know, during that time.
Yep.
They couldn't understand, you know, why I would stay there so long and not come to their church. And right. I say this with all humility, but, and then you were so gracious to me. Several times there were some meetings that I feel like I needed to go to. Mm-hmm. And that's when we changed the time. I think it's about the 13th week or so. That's when we started going the weekends. And and what's funny is when I started going to these churches, like, well, just stay here now. Just stay here. And I'm thinking, you know, if you were fussing 1 minute.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
But then they see is when I'm when I'm pointing out, they begin to see that there was a move of God and they wanted what was going on there in Milford, you know, and a real move of God, man, cannot be manufactured. And I found out that I've been in all different types of moves of God. And I've been in 10 weeks here, 9 months with you guys and different places, but every move of God is different, you know, and it cannot be manufactured. And I feel like I need to say this to those that are listening tonight or today is that as you're praying for a move of God, it's just kind of dropped in my spirit. Pray for a move of God that will be conducive to your area, to your church. Don't try to mimic what Brownsville had. I'm telling you, I have watched Bukus of Brownsville. I have wept my eyes out lately because I've been down there. But I know, you know, that God has a special move of God that's going to go beyond Brownsville. And I think it's imperative that we find that special thing that God wants to do at our churches, you know, in our locality. And I would just say this, that as God begins to work in the form of revival, whether it be a prayer meeting, whether it be, you know, being in the tent, oh man, there's so much we could talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever God decides to do, whatever you do, listen carefully what we're saying to you. Don't let men discourage you.
Yeah.
And don't let men trying to get you to duplicate what God's trying to do. You find out what God's going to do. Remember what we said, that God creates the way we can only ride what he's doing. He's the revival giver.
Amen. Yes. Well, I tell you, of all of the things that I gained from 9 months of revival, one of the greatest things I gained was a brother and a friend in Joel
Talley.
And we've been
about you, my friend.
We have, you know, we're separated by distance and don't get to see each other a whole lot, but you and I have been close confidants, and I love you and appreciate you, and I'm glad that God allowed our paths to cross as they did. I'm going to let you go because I know you're busy, and we've been, I know it doesn't seem like it, but we've been talking for 30 minutes. So,
oh, wow. Well, thank you so much.
And yes, sir.
I'm behind you, my friend. You know, a writer put it best. He says, from the time that you're born to the time that you die, if you have two true blue friends, you're a wealthy person.
Yep.
So I'm glad that I've got a friend in you. And I would say to all of your followers, man, stand behind this man and woman of God. God's got his hand on him. And there he is. And I'll speak this over you, Jeff. There's a spirit of revival, man, that is upon you. And you're going to help get us back to the basics, to the roots. And I feel like I need to say one more thing real quick. That there is revival. It's not just coming, it's here. And I think it's going to rise up through our sons and our daughters and our grandkids, but we're not going to be left out. Yeah. We're going to be the facilitators. We're the ones that have seen. We have seen blind eyes open and deaf ears. We've seen great things like that. And we're going to help this new generation that has never seen anything like that. And
yes,
we're going to help them stand on our shoulders and do greater things than we've ever done. They're going to ask on the last day move, but they're also going to help usher in the coming of the Lord. But we're not just going to be spectators. We're going to be participators in this. And
I believe it.
I'm excited. And my prayer is, Lord, no matter what it looks like, no matter what it sounds like, come, Lord Jesus, and don't let me be left out. That's the way I feel about it.
Absolutely. Well, Joel, thanks again, man, for giving
yes,
us 30 minutes tonight. And may the Lord continue to bless you and open doors.
Thank you. You too. And thank you for letting me be a part of this. It's a special.
Yes,
and I love
sir.
You and I appreciate you. And I'm excited to see what God is going to continue to do in your ministry. Just keep on sitting on revival fires places. Amen.
Yes, sir. Thanks much.
Man. Yes, sir.
Thanks for joining me for this very first podcast of season 3 of the Jeff Wolf Podcast. Hope you were blessed. Hope you enjoyed the conversation between Joel and I, and I'll see you next time.
We're so glad you joined us today. Remember to subscribe on your favorite podcast provider and YouTube. For more information, go to jeffwolf.org. Are you one of the 268 million people around the world who are battling anxiety and depression? Jeff's new book addresses this pandemic of the mind. Mindemic: How Faith Can Help Us Overcome the Anxiety and Depression Crisis in America, will restore your hope and help you challenge the lies of the enemy in your mind. It's available on Amazon and at mindemic.org. We'll see you next week. Be blessed.